This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show in Topeka, brought to you by Eck Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. You can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. And of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and through social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And of course, give us a call. Our studio lines are open 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. Earlier this week, the Senate cleared a procedural hurdle on the way to passing the Laken Riley Act, which has a target of suppressing crime by migrants. 33 Senate Democrats, however, voted with the Republicans in the 84-9 vote on Thursday. But that was only 33 Senate Democrats. The rest voted no. The Laken Riley Act, named for a college student who was killed last February by a Venezuelan migrant who had been arrested for shoplifting prior to the attack, would mandate federal detention of immigrants lacking legal status accused of theft, burglary, and other similar crimes. The bill has already passed the House. With us now to talk about the Laken Riley Act and why this legislation is so important is Jenny Beth Martin, Honorary Chairman of Tea Party Patriots Action. Jenny Beth, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show again, my friend. I'm sorry, I can't hear her. You know, this could make the call problematic. this is the issue when you have live radio. Is unfortunately, sometimes things like this happen. What we're going to do, what I'll do here is I've got actually Leo Delpredang, or State Representative Leo Delpredang, who happened to. Well, we're sorry about that. Technical difficulties. It's, you know, we'll just have to see what we can do to get Jenny Beth back. There we go. Jenny Beth, have we got you? Well, we're still trying. You know, this is what happens with live radio. Phil, are we still trying to get Jenny Beth with us?
We are trying at the moment, yes.
Well, that's okay. You know what I'll do is I've got Leo Delpredang. Leo, this is what happens with live radio. I'll take you out. So I know you're the chair. By the way, folks, this is State Representative Leo Delpredang happened to wander in here as we're sitting live in Topeka. Remotes, it happens. Leo, tell us a little bit about what you've got. You're the chair of, back in my day, it was called Energy. What do you guys call it now?
I'm currently the chair of energy and utilities, and we got a little bit of telecommunications in there at the same time.
So you combined basically two committees, because it used to be energy and then utilities was a separate committee. You guys combined it, so that just means you can raise more money during elections.
That's not necessarily the way I looked at it.
So what have you got? I mean, I'm sure you've got some major, because yours was one of the major committees. I remember I had to get up in the morning for you guys made me get up early for that energy committee. What do you got planned this session? Starts tomorrow.
It starts tomorrow and all over the Capitol up here. But now we've got several things. I was planning on hearing quite a bit about the FERC corridor, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission corridor. But just recently, about 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, the feds finally acted on it and shut it down. So that kind of put that to rest for now. We're going to start getting into what's known as the Grain Belt Express. There's so much information and misinformation going on out there that I'm going to have all different parties in. We're going to figure out what's the truth on this, what's going, what's already out there. People are concerned about eminent domain. There was a lot of talk about eminent domain with that the pipeline that they were trying to put through, energy pipeline through western Kansas. That's what you're talking about. That was the FERC corridor.
Okay.
And people were concerned because it was a 5-mile wide corridor, and they're going to use eminent domain, and they're going to go wipe through Great Bend and all these other places. But
are we sure that has been kiboshed? Are you sure that they've put an end to that? Because I got calls on that, not only here on this show, but when I was filling in Kansas City.
Yeah, the feds did act on that and basically shut it down. But same token, the fears were the eminent domain 5-mile wide swath.
Right.
There was a 5-mile wide corridor of which anybody that looks at these highline wires, it's about 100 yards in width. The 5-mile wide width of the corridor allowed them to go around cities or jump around areas where they don't belong. That's what was going on there. But we needed to get the truth out. But again, that corridor is gone. This Grain Belt Express that we're going to be looking at actually uses that corridor, but it was simply there for federal tax incentives, and it was no eminent domain to this point in time. It was leases on land, and like I said, it's probably 99% already done with that. So it's not as bad as people are hearing, but I'm going to get some hearings out here, and we're going to get to the truth of it.
Well, you know, and that's, I think, a lot of the problem that comes up in these types of legislation is people hear things and then there's misinformation or they jump to conclusions, panic arises. This is, a lot of times it's misinformation or panic, and that's where I think some of the problem occurs.
No, that is true. And that's why I want everything on record. It'll be wide open meetings, it'll be videoed, and it'll be so you can replay it, and we'll have the truth out there. But that's just one of many things we're going to be looking at. When we were out campaigning earlier this year, the main number one topic was property taxes, where I may not be the tax chair or anything, but you know what? We've got to focus on it, and we've got to do something to fix this. I'm in with everybody else whose house has increased over years with appraised values, and we've got to fix it.
Well, and if you're like most people, you haven't done much to the house other than mow the lawn, and yet they keep jacking up your property tax. And that's the appraisal. That's where they're really hitting us. And I think that's where we have to look at something along the lines of maybe capping the appraisals that, you know, I've heard some people say 4% or something like annually, some kind of caps on appraisals, because that's where I think people are really getting hurt.
Yeah. Well, and there's more to that. From my understanding, when you dive into it, even though we're all complaining about our appraised values, most of the properties out there are appraised at or below what the actual values are,
right,
if you see what real estate's done lately. But that doesn't keep us from maybe giving exemptions out. Last year, we had several tax bills that went up that had $100,000 exemptions on the property valuations, each to just get vetoed by the governor.
Well, and the other issue is, you know, we had bills that would help veterans, bills that would help retirees. And, you know, a lot of that stuff was vetoed by the governor. A lot of that stuff was actually, you know, you had members of the legislature that didn't vote for some of that. And that could be other areas that we could help. The bottom line is we need relief. And I'm hoping to see that this session. It begins tomorrow. That's the key. And if folks, I keep encouraging people, if they want to make their voices heard, they've got to be vocal. They've got to reach out to their representatives and senators and make sure that you guys hear them. Because if they don't, that's the only way they're going to get real change.
No, I agree with that. And I've got several people in my district that do reach out. That's how we know what to do up here. We can't just come up and do it on our own. And every one of the representatives up here should have their ears open to the constituents. We're here for them. We're not here for us.
Speaking of which, one of our favorite, I just popped into next door and saw one of my old friend, my old roommate, my old office mate, Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter, just arrived. He's got a new baby. So it just came like yesterday or the day before. So congratulations to the new papa,
And you know what? He's not the only one with a new baby.
Oh, yeah.
We also got Patrick Penn, which
right.
I think was born on the same day, the two of them.
That's right. I forgot that Representative Patrick Penn also has a new. So we've got new papas up in Topeka as well. Leo, thank you again for stopping by. If folks want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to connect?
There's a couple of ways. I am delforday4kansas.com.
Is that F-O-R or the number four?
I believe that is F-O-R.
Okay.
And then I'm also out on the internet. If you Google me, you can go to kslegislature.org, and on the left side of it, you can look up your legislator, and my phone number's out there.
And that's the only place to find Leo, on the left side of anything. Leo, I appreciate you, brother. Stick around. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll be taking your calls. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show in Topeka. Brought to you by Eck Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show in Topeka, brought to you by Eck Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget my friends at Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Americans for Prosperity believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. Their community of millions of concerned citizens advocating for solutions based on proven principles to tackle the country's most critical challenges. If you want to get involved, if you're looking for a way to get politically active, it's a great way. They're a great organization. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org to sign up. While you're online, of course, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. A couple of announcements or, you know, things to put on your calendar. Don't forget, this Thursday, the 16th at 6:30 is the monthly meeting of the Sedgwick County Republican Party. It's the meeting starts at 6:30, and then the program starts at 7. It's at the Wichita Area Builders Association. And, of course, we also want to remind you that the Sedgwick County Republican Party and Congressman Estes are putting together an inauguration watch party at Boulevard Theaters in Old Town. That's coming up on Monday, January 20th. More details and RSVP information are to come, but keep an eye out. You can watch the John Whitmer Show Facebook page for more information on that. Nick, let's see if we can pull this off. We'll see. We haven't had the best luck with callers. Technical difficulties. We'll see. Cross your fingers. Nick, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for sticking around.
Good evening, John. I'm excited you're in Topeka and excited to get to know the new legislators and see how they define conservatism as far as life, family, and liberty. But I do.
Yes, me too. And I'm just glad I can hear you.
Yes, sir. Sorry about those technical difficulties earlier. Anyway, my five things, my wish list for this session, and you can decide which one you want to talk about if we have time. I do support that direct election for judges, and hopefully citizens will get educated on the judges. I would like to see school choice with homeschooling option on there. Is that? And then also caps on super PAC money donations when it comes to the tech and the pharma industries. You know, we got these AI issues we're going to have to deal with. And then also last year, I think they had House Bill 2673, which would ask for a waiver from the SNAP program to prohibit purchases of candy and soft drinks with taxpayer money. And then, of course, as you know, John, we have already recreational, quote unquote, marijuana being sold unregulated in the state of Kansas. And I think that with thousands of Kansans who have Missouri medical cards and knowing that youth use goes down in states that deschedulize it, I think it's time that Kansans, especially I think if we want to remain or get back the second floor, we need to use some common sense and actual conservativeness when it comes to plant freedom, so people can grow low THC cannabis, hemp without a license, and use this plant for whatever they want. Not necessarily promoting a commercial market, but I think liberty with the cannabis seed individually is something that we need to get on board with. So those are the five things that I'd really like to see, and I'm excited to have you up there doing interviews John, and I'm excited to see what's going on with the legislature. I'm excited for Dan and Ty keeping Medicaid off the system, and they're doing mostly a good job. Just a few things that I'd like to see with them. So thank you, John.
I appreciate your call, brother. I agree. Well, we found two, at least right off the bat, that I agree with you on. Marijuana, it's a sticky wicket. I've always been public about I think we could find common ground on medical marijuana as long as it's for a legitimate medical need that is prescribed by a doctor and dispensed through a pharmacy. I think if you had a limited number of specific conditions that it's prescribed for, and that you're a patient with a legitimate medical need, you go to your doctor who you've got an established relationship with. That doctor then prescribes you medical marijuana, and you go to a pharmacist, and the pharmacist dispenses it. I could see that. However, I just don't think that's going to happen. The House has already taken that up and passed a bill pretty similar to what I just laid out. The issue is, I don't think there's a political appetite in the Kansas Senate to take it up. I really don't. I think there's, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's the leadership in the Senate or just a more conservative body, but for the ones that I talk to over in that chamber, I just don't think they want to do it. And if you talk to members of the Kansas House, they will tell you their attitude is, we've done it. And why should they do it again when the Senate has already I don't blame them. I don't blame the House for saying pass if it's going to die over there or not take any action. So until the Senate does it, the House shouldn't. I don't think they should have to do it again. And so that's kind of where I think we are in Kansas. I think if you want to see action on marijuana, be it medical or recreational, you got to talk to your state senator. I don't think you'll see recreational anytime soon in Kansas, but I think you could see work on medical, but it's going to have to be over in the Senate. But we'll see. I could be wrong. It's happened once that I'm aware of, just the once, unless you ask my wife, in which case it's a daily activity. We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills. Heck, it's happened on this show. I couldn't get the connections. And then Michael Austin from Americans for Prosperity Kansas will walk us through the numbers to show the state's nearly $2 billion surplus is set to vanish by 2029, and why he says the solution to that issue needs to come from cutting spending. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show in Topeka, brought to you by Eck Agency on 98.7 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show in Topeka, brought to you by Eck Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And, as always, our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. Total tax collections in Kansas were up 8.1% from last month, and they're up 2.6% fiscal year to date. But the state's nearly $2 billion surplus is set to vanish by 2029. And some say the solution to that issue needs to come from cutting spending. With us now is free market economist Michael Austin from Americans for Prosperity. Michael, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
It's really good to be back, John. Thanks for having me.
So, Michael, let me start with this. Since my time in the legislature, and granted, it's been a while, but since my time in the legislature, and this is actually pretty sad if you think about it, but since I was a state rep, spending in Topeka has risen over $9.5 billion. That's with a B. As they return to Topeka tomorrow, can legislators craft a bill that does spending limits and yet still allows for vital government services. I mean, because right now, the way I see it, the problem isn't we don't have a tax problem. We have a spending problem.
That's a great point, John. So I would say the short answer is yes. And let me give a little background. So on December 13th, the Kansas legislature got a pretty grim holiday forecast. The state's nearly $2 billion surplus was set to vanish by 2029. So while lawmakers are aiming for tax relief again this year, which I think is a fantastic goal.
Property tax primarily, right?
And I also hope income taxes. You also want to grow the economy as well. But this budget forecast is clearly a canary in the coal mine. So I think we have to be smart. Kansas should finish simplifying that tax code. Of course, find ways to property taxes. But the only way that they can do that is limiting spending to ensure that future revenue surpluses, it goes back to Kansans and not squandered. This is the cornerstone opportunity for Kansas legislators.
So if they were to start addressing spending, you and I both know that the elephant in the room is K through 12, but I don't know if there's an appetite for it. And then, of course, they're going to get sued. I mean, where would you suggest they go to look to cut spending?
Well, what I would say, it's more about the process. And one of the processes that we're advocating for is a spending limit. How would that work? Well, think of it like a thermostat for the government. Just like a smart thermostat prevents your home from overheating, a spending limit can keep government budgets from spiraling out of control. So the AFP policy in this case would tie spending to sensible factors like private economic output. And that way it ensures that the government lives within its means. So, for example, AFP Kansas advocates that government should only grow about 4.5% above fiscal year 2024 levels. So if that sounds reasonable to you, that's because it is.
So capping growth, basically, is what you're saying. What did they grow, like, for example, last year? Have they been growing more than 4% annually?
It's been off and on, but this last year, we're looking at almost $1 billion extra, about $1.7 billion in additional spending.
So. And yet that figure was still less than what Governor Kelly wanted to spend, correct?
Yes, it's all relative. So while, you know, we can definitely pat ourselves on the back for not, you know, doing what Laura Kelly wants, there's still clearly work to do. And so we think a spending limit approach guarantees that the government doesn't overreach, but it also does this. It gives you a tax revenue surplus. And that surplus can then be used to finance more income tax reductions. So I can't think of a better way to create a win-win for families, businesses, and even those in government to make sure it stays within its means, but also gives you the money to finance more relief in the future.
I think we also have to be honest about some of the spending. I mean, I've already heard talk of more of these massive economic development packages that they, you know, the Panasonic type deals. And don't get me wrong, if that turns out to be profitable, great. But we had the Chiefs star bond last year. At some point, they've got to maybe hold off on some of this stuff to see if it actually pays dividends, right?
You can most certainly look at the revenue side. You know, we won't necessarily push back against that. But one thing we really want to make clear is the issue is spending. You know,
Well, that's what I mean. Before we start spending on any more of those new projects, because I've heard talk about Apex 2, you know, another, because the Apex deal is what got us the Panasonic deal. I've heard that some legislators are talking, we need another Apex deal to bring more business. I'm like, wait, let's make sure Apex 1 pays off.
Famous economist Milton Friedman always talks about the burden of government. And he says the burden of government is not how much it taxes you, but it's how much it spends. And
yeah.
So when you have spending that is up $1.7 billion, that's spending 18% more a year. If a family spent 18% more a year but didn't have any extra income, that would be considered absurd. And the same thing for businesses. You have to balance both sides of the ledger. And I think Kansas government can do the same. They can move to a single rate, they can provide property taxes, and then they can do it with a spending limit that gives them the surplus revenues to make that possible.
We're talking with Michael Austin from Americans for Prosperity, Kansas. Michael, you know, one of the things that has come up, and we had Dan Hawkins on the show earlier, they're really focused on property tax relief. And we all want to see that. But I think we also have to do something about capping the appraisal process. It's obscene. I mean, I've seen down in Wichita, we've seen appraisals going 18-20% increases annually. It's just getting out of hand. Isn't there something they can do to cap that?
that's definitely a conversation to be had, and I think that should be had within the legislature. Property taxes, you write one big check or maybe two big checks every year, so you definitely feel that. And so I think, you know, just simply lowering that mill rate is one solution. Capping appraisals could be another. Capping the actual tax increase we see at the local level could be a possible solution. But I guess I would say that none of that would be sustainable unless you get the spending side in place first. And then at the same time, you want to grow the economy. So not only should property taxes be part of that conversation, but you also want to make it easy to work as well. People are still leaving Kansas to go to places like Florida and Texas because they don't have any income taxes. That clearly has to be part of the conversation if you want the Kansas economy to grow so fast that we have enough revenues to make these property tax cuts possible.
I'm seeing a pattern here. You really are, almost every time I bring up a suggestion, you're bringing up the spending. It really does have to come hand in hand, doesn't it?
You know, it really does. You can't reduce waste one year or reduce taxes one year and then think you're done. I think what matters is you have to put something structural in place, that puts Kansas families and businesses over politicians. And that's why I'm really excited about what the legislature is doing, looking at this budget process, really excited about the, you know, increased supermajorities, because they have a real opportunity to not only get this right, but get this right for generations to come and really put Kansas on a competitive footing and a jewel in this country.
Well, and I don't want to sound like Democrats here, because every time they bring up Brownback and the Brownback tax experiment, they love to hit us for that. They love to hit Republicans for the Brownback tax experiment. And that was the year prior to me entering the legislature. But the one element that the legislature, the big mistake they made when they passed those tax cuts, is they didn't cut spending. You can't cut taxes if you don't cut spending. So it does seem like this is a pattern. And so when you guys are pointing out, yes, you can cut taxes. Yes, you can do, but you have to cut spending or you're going to have this same problem recur.
The golden rule of fiscal policy is simple. The private sector has to grow faster than the government.
Yeah.
Why? Because the private sector creates the wealth. And from that wealth, you get tax revenues. So by lowering income taxes, by leveraging the surplus revenues, I think it's the smartest way to grow Kansas families' prosperity while ensuring that government can provide essential government services. And as for Brownback, you know, I think those who are against freedom definitely tried that during the election, and it went nowhere. Kansans are tired of that.
Right.
They care about kitchen table issues, one of which is, can I afford a house payment? Another one is,
right. Can I afford groceries?
Can I afford groceries? Can I get a pay raise? That's what matters to them. And that's why we're, you know, harping, right, on finding ways we can lower income taxes, finding ways we can lower property taxes, and doing so without growing government at the same time.
Yeah, well, that last part's a key as well. Michael, I appreciate you taking time to join us this evening. If folks want information, if they want to get involved, if they want to make their voices heard, they can visit AmericansForProsperity.org, correct?
That's right. We're also going to have a new project called Protect Prosperity, where we're going to work with our federal delegation, like Congressman Ron Estes, to secure the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act for President Trump and his new administration.
All right, brother, I appreciate you taking the time. When we come back, we're going to try one more time to connect with Jenny Beth Martin. You're listening to John Whitmer live from Topeka on the John Whitmer Show, brought to you by Eck Agency. On 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
this.
That's radio happening now, connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Welcome back to the John Weber Show in Topeka. I have to laugh. Representative Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter just came in. As I mentioned earlier in the show, he's got a new baby, and I said congratulations, and he said thank you. It was a lot of hard work. Yeah, right. John Weber Show in Topeka, brought to you by Eck Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Your wife's going to kill you for that one. You can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio, and make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. We'll try this again. Earlier this week, the Senate was able to pass the Lake and Riley Act, or a hurdle, rather, to pass the Lake and Riley Act. Now we'll see if we can get with Jenny Beth Martin to talk about how important this is. Jenny Beth, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm so glad we finally connected.
Yes, me too. Tell us a little bit about the Lake and Riley Act, if you would.
Well, the bill will allow and will require detention for certain non-U.S. citizens who commit crimes such as theft and burglary. And then they still will wind up having their potentially going through a trial for whatever that crime that they've been accused of is, but even before the trial is resolved, they would be detained. And also it allows for states to sue the federal government if ICE, the Immigration Customs Enforcement, is not doing everything that it should be doing. This is very important because when Lake and Riley was viciously murdered, the person who has been found guilty of murdering her had been arrested and released in both New York and in Georgia before he killed her. And he was here after the Biden administration allowed him and so many other people to enter the country, violating our immigration laws. So this is a way to help state and local law enforcement be able to put people who are not citizens and are showing that they have a proclivity to commit crimes, to detain them and to help protect the rest of our citizens and people who are in this country legally as well.
This, you know, it seems common sense. It seems pretty logical, reasonable, and yet just over 100 House Democrats voted against the bill. A number of Senate Democrats oppose it. What are they thinking? I mean, I get, you know, your wackadoodles like AOC and the squad. There's no reasoning with those folks. But why does a reasonable, quote unquote, reasonable Democrat, what's the thinking behind opposing something like this?
Well, I don't know the reason why they are doing it. I did read that there are some concerns that the people are being detained before their trial actually happens for the crime they're being accused of committing.
They should be detained for that alone.
They should be. Now, when the federal government has been abusing the asylum system and allowing immigrants to abuse the asylum system, they are here contrary to United States law. So they are definitely here illegally. And yet our government in the last 4 years has been enabling that violation of the law. But here's a bigger thing. If you come into this country, and I think this should apply whether you're legally here or not, if you are showing that you have a willingness to potentially to commit crimes against property, you very well may escalate the kind of crimes that you are willing to commit. Being in this country is not a guaranteed right for every single person in the entire world. And if you're not going to obey our laws once you're here, we should not, as citizens, have to just keep people here who are not obeying our laws. And we should not, I think that you have to err on the side of making sure that you are protecting United States citizens when there is somebody who is showing that they have a proclivity to commit crimes and they're not citizens in this country. Now, if they find out that they were not guilty and they are here legally, then of course they should be released back into society. But if they're not here legally and they are committing crimes, they absolutely should not be walking in our streets.
Right. No, exactly. I assume that I think it's we hope to they get the 60 votes necessary to pass the Senate. And I'm also assuming then that they will hold this until after the president-elect is sworn in, correct? Because I can't imagine Joe Biden would sign this.
No, I don't think, and I think that Senator Thune would not even send it to Biden's desk. It would hold until Trump gets into office. But right now, the Senate has voted to allow the debate to begin on the bill. It still has two more procedural votes. One is to end that debate, and then there'll be the final passage as well. You need 60 votes to end the debate, and then you need a simple majority to pass it. So we still have to get 60 votes again. And hopefully there are enough Democrats who have looked at what has happened in the last 4 years and what their own constituency is saying, and they will do the right thing and pass this law or pass this bill.
You would think. We're talking with Jenny Beth Martin, honorary chairman of Tea Party Patriots Action. Jenny Beth, for the first time in decades, a pretty strong majority of the American public supports mass deportation of illegals. A new CBS poll of U.S. adults published in November showed that 57% would approve of launching a new program to deport all illegal immigrants in here in the U.S. illegally. Those are the kind of numbers that you would think would get Senate Democrats, at least the ones in, you know, squishy states, in purple states, and any state that Trump won. You would think that those kind of Senate Democrats would be the ones that we'd want to target with if they're on the fence, wouldn't you think?
Yes, I agree with that. And I think that's also why you've got senators like Fetterman and John Ossoff, Fetterman's from Pennsylvania, Ossoff is from Georgia, who are saying that they will vote for the bill. So I do think that they're looking at the numbers. They're looking at the fact they will be up for reelection in less than 2 years. And that is making them want to do the right thing. I will take it. I want them to do the right thing all the time, but I'll take it in this particular instance. And we need to be calling all of our senators to tell them to vote for this bill. And if we have Republican senators, they're doing the right thing, and they've made this a high priority in this Congress, and they should just hear from us and let them know that we appreciate this. We're going to have plenty of time to pull those sticks, metaphorical sticks, back out, but right now is a good time to give them carrots and thank them for doing the right thing.
Yeah, it does say something, I think, that the first piece of legislation that the new Congress chose to pass is this one.
Yes. I think it is because the two issues that were most important to voters are fixing the economy and securing the border. And fixing the economy is going to take more time. Whether we like it or not, that is going to take more time. But they can begin doing things to help secure the border and to make America more safe. And I am very glad that they've taken this up. I've been working to secure the border for over a decade. I have met so many families who have lost a loved one because of crime committed by illegal immigrants. And this one is very personal to me. Lakin Riley, she was a year older than my twins, and they all three had the same first grade teacher. She was from my community. And I just want this bill to pass. It's not going to make her family feel better. There's nothing that's going to fill the hole in their hearts, because they miss her so much, but hopefully it can prevent other families from feeling the pain they feel.
Right. That's a good way of putting it. Jenny Beth, I appreciate you taking the time. Thank you for being patient, working with us through the technical difficulties. If people want to connect with you, if they want more information about Tea Party Patriots, they can find it at teapartypatriots.org, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Teapartypatriots.org.
I appreciate you. Thank you again. It's always a pleasure having you on the show, my friend.
Thank you.
Want to remind Thursday, January 16th, is the next Sedgwick County Republican Party monthly meeting. It's at the Wichita Area Builders Association. The meeting starts at 6:30. They're meet and greet, and then, of course, at 7 o'clock, the meeting begins. I understand they've got all kinds of good stuff planned, so you'll want to make sure, make some time to attend that. And then, of course, as we shared with you a little bit earlier, the Central County Republican Party and Congressman Estes are putting together an inauguration watch party at Boulevard Theaters in Old Town on Monday, January 20th. More details and RSVP information is to come on that. So we'll get you that information. You can find that, I'm sure. We'll have that for you on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. Lastly, want to thank, this has been a blast. It's always fun to make a trip back up here to Topeka, but I want to thank again my friends at the Eck Agency. We're going to be doing this at least once a month. We may make a couple extra trips depending on how busy this session is, but John Eck and my friends at the Eck Agency, if you need help with your auto, home, or life insurance needs, they've got three convenient Eck Agency locations in South Central Kansas to serve you. Special thanks to John Eck and his team at the Eck Agency. They're, if you need the insurance, look no further than John Eck. Thank you again for joining us. We'll be back in Wichita next Sunday. In the meantime, carry on, fellow deplorables.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.